We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol. It's Friday, September 24th, 2021. I don't know that I've ever been more excited to talk to Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Because that's what I'm going to do right now as part of the Border Patrol Blitz. Let's say hello to Gabe. Missouri. Hello, Gabe. How are you?
That's a lot of pressure, man. I don't know why you're so fired up to talk to me, but I'm pretty excited about it.
You're about to find out.
If you've listened to this show at all, then you'll know why. Because
I've obviously been listening all morning.
So, because seventh grade Steven is very excited to ask you about this next player.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I know, and I've been monitoring Power Mizzou, and I know
what.
Power Mizzou is very, very excited. I'm very excited after this young man had five carries for 77 yards against Southeast Missouri State last week. Eli Drinkwitz on his weekly radio show said that walk-on running back Michael Cox will be getting some more touches.
Mike!
Gabe DeArmond, please.
My Cox is getting more touches.
Right. That's exactly right.
Not the case for me. I've been married for 14 years. Huh?
Gabe, take it away. Give us, tell us what you know, please.
Well, just to give background to the people out there who, for some reason, have not subscribed to Power Mizzou and don't watch our stuff.
Right.
During some post-game show last year, I got a call from someone that sounded relatively young. You know, I mean, actually young, not like juvenile, like the current people speaking on this show. but called in and asked about walk-on running back Michael Cox. And I'm thinking, like, just the sound of the call and everything, I'd never heard of it. So I thought that was a made-up thing, right? So I hung up on the guy. And he called again, and I hung up on him again because I thought he was trying to make a sixth grade funny.
Yeah, Bart Jones.
Now you're going to tell me about Michael Hunt? Is
right,
he on
that's
the team
exactly
too?
Right. So you didn't believe it. You didn't believe it.
Is your refrigerator running?
Hey, you better catch it.
Tell me, no, there's really a guy on the team named Michael Cox. He's a walk-on running back from Atlanta. I'm like, okay, so this kid became a legend on our board.
Right.
And then he had a really good spring game. Now, you know, the spring game was like the third and fourth stringers. And I said, settle down. It's a practice against the fourth string. But he played last week and looked as good as any running, better than any running back that wasn't Tyler Beatty. you know, he is 225, 230 pounds. He's pretty fast. He was like the area Gatorade player of the year his junior year in high school. He passed up some legitimate offers to walk on at Missouri. Not FBS offers, but, you know, full scholarships to walk on at Missouri. And he's going to play. And he looks like a guy who, especially for a team whose number one running back is, you know, not the biggest guy, and whose number two running back is a speed guy who has only played, you know, three or four career games now, there's a role on this team for Michael Cox, and he's going to get some carries going forward.
Never have I wanted a walk-on to be more successful than I want Michael Cox to be successful. I mean, yeah. Really. And there's like at least three or four threads yesterday at PowerMizzou.com. So it's really captured the imagination of the Mizzou fan base, hasn't it, Gabe?
I mean, legitimately, I've had people contact me about, like, potential NIL deals for Michael.
that's where we're at. Some of those shops along I-70 there might be interesting, huh?
No, like, ones that college players could actually sign. You know, people that are interested in, hey, this kid's a walk-on. He deserves to have his school paid for. And I think that'll actually happen probably by the end of the year. He'll probably be a scholarship player.
Right. I mean, you know. It was, and look, he deserves it, right? I mean, I think after that 55-yard touchdown run, I think it's proven that, you know, Mike Cox knows how to finish. So,
Well, and you do understand it's Debo, right? But he looked better than the other guys who got carries against Debo.
Sure.
I mean, they were facing the same defense, just they didn't have 5 carries for 77 yards. So, yeah, it counts for something.
You know what? You're damn right it counts for something.
And maybe so, the excitement was a little premature.
Well, we'll see. We'll find out tomorrow against Boston College.
Now it's warranted.
There is a game to be played, 11 a.m.
I feel like we're just going to rename this segment and not talk about anyone else.
Well, okay. You don't have to twist
my brain. My brain is about to explode with horrible, immature jokes right now.
What are you laughing at?
I told Jake before I came on I can name one Boston College player, so I would rather talk about Michael Cox.
Is by any chance the Boston College player named Michael Cox? Is there any chance? No. My eyes have been bleeding for the last 2 weeks after watching Mizzou's run defense followed by the Chiefs' run defense. So I'm hoping for improvement for both this weekend. What say you, Gabe DeArmond? What's going to happen between Mizzou and Boston College tomorrow morning at 11 a.m.?
I mean, if Phil Yurkovic was playing, I would pick BC in this game, and I think they would be favored by 4 to 6 points. The backup quarterback, the one guy I know is Dennis Grossell. He was 5 for 13 for 34 yards last week. Now, he is not, he has started 8 or 9 games in his career. He's not just like this guy that's thrown in there with no experience whatsoever. I think it's a pretty even game. I think the spread right now is Missouri by 1.5, which surprised me a little bit. BC's been pretty similar to Missouri. The difference in the two teams is Missouri's played one legitimate opponent and BC hasn't. BC has played Colgate, Temple, and UMass. And their game against UMass was like Missouri's game against SEMO. They gave up 21 points in like 10 minutes, which made it look, the final score look more competitive than it was. I think they won 45-28. This is a complete toss-up game. I said at the beginning of the year that I didn't think Missouri would win both the BC and Kentucky games, but I didn't think they'd lose both. So I'm picking Missouri more on that than anything else. And this is really the pivotal game of the season because we've talked over and over for the last year about how, hey, this team might struggle a little bit, but the fan base needs to stay engaged for Drinkwitz to be able to build the program in the future. And I'm going to be interested to see if they come back here 2-2 for Tennessee, what happens with attendance and engagement. You know, it's been a real popular thing to tweet and post on message boards how excited people were. But are they going to back that up with actually showing up and supporting Drew with his program as he builds it? Because I think a lot of people, like we talked about the week after Kentucky, kind of fooled themselves into how quickly this was going to get done.
Gabe, final score?
I think I picked Missouri 31-27. So we'll see how that goes. And maybe depending on how things go this week, Steven, you guys can answer the question I had answered this week, which was which football team in the state of Missouri has the worst run defense at this point.
Thank you very much.
I said the Chiefs was worse.
Well, there's no wrong answer to the question, and so whatever you say, you're correct. Gabe, thank you for the time.
All right, guys, have a good one.
That's Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Told you it was going to be fun. Now let's talk to Matt Walters about Kansas State.
Kansas State!
Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing very well. Big game, big matchup between 2-3-0 teams tomorrow in Stillwater. K-State comes in ranked number 25, and I know that a lot of people were wondering how they would or if they would pass the test against Nevada and a guy that is predicted to be a first-round draft pick at quarterback. And K-State was without their original starting quarterback, and they passed with flying colors and won very impressively. Just give me your thoughts on where K-State is right now as they prepare for their conference opener against Oklahoma State.
I think K-State's where it needs to be. You know, when you get through non-con and you're 3-0, things are pretty good, all things considered. I thought last Saturday what set K-State on a very good path potentially for this week is just how they finished the ball game. You know, a dominant fourth quarter. I thought K-State's defense was very active and, you know, pestered and got after Carson Strong a little bit. They did not allow life to be easy for him. That kid's got a great arm. He's not very mobile. And at times I think K-State took advantage of that. But, you know, what K-State's doing on the ground has been very impressive. You know, what Deuce Vaughn is doing, Joe Irvin getting better and better. And I think, you know, that's something to really keep an eye on tomorrow, because Oklahoma State's defensive front isn't too shabby. They've gotten to 3-0 in a little different fashion than K-State. But, yeah, like you said, it ought to be a pretty entertaining game, and it has been of late down in Stillwater between these two.
All right, Matt, can you give us the exact snap breakdown and when the quarterbacks will each play for this game, Will Howard and Jaren Lewis?
Wow.
Yeah, right. both will play, I think. You know, and all things considered, again, you know, what Jaren Lewis did last week was good, considering, you know, he hadn't seen any action. He's a very good athlete. He's one of the best athletes on the team. And, you know, I think he provides a little different punch compared to Will Howard. But, again, I thought, you know, going back to the question a moment ago, Will Howard was pretty good last week. When you don't turn over the ball, and you're finding some success in the passing game, you know, in case they'd only threw 13 passes the entire day, but they're going to have to throw more tomorrow. But I like what I saw from Will Howard last week. And I'm flying off the cuff here. I might guess that Jaren Lewis might get somewhere in the neighborhood of a dozen to 15 snaps possibly, just a guess.
Well, and I, obviously I'm joking when I tell you that to give us that number, but in all seriousness, I think it is fascinating. I think it's great. I love the fact that K-State's coming out and saying, hey, we're going to play both guys, because that forces Oklahoma State to have to prepare for two different quarterbacks. And anytime you could cut into the other team's preparation time and divide their attention a little bit, I think that actually that helps you out. We have seen, though, over the years, for example, back when Gary Pinkel was coaching at Missouri, a lot of times when you have a younger quarterback, he had it scripted out. He knew exactly when the younger quarterback might come in. He's going to get this series in the second quarter, and we have it scripted out for him. But it sounds like, at least, you know, reading the quotes from Courtney Messingham, that this is maybe going to be a little bit more by feel, depending on the way the game goes. Is that correct? Is that how you understand it, that they're just going to kind of see how the game goes and maybe adjust from there when it comes to how they use the quarterbacks?
I think without a doubt, Nate, and I think that's how you have to live. I mean, let's just say that your starting quarterback, you know, you're 3 for 3 in possessions, and you've gotten touchdowns on all three, and you've got all sorts of momentum. I mean, are you just, lo and behold, going to make a switch just to make a switch? That's something that, you know, I personally would disagree with in that philosophy. You know, if it's 21-0, okay, but you're still messing with momentum at that point.
Right.
You know, K-State, like a lot of teams, they script plays early, you know, right out of the chute to help, you know, get a guy like Will Howard settled in the ball game. But, you know, I don't think it's a case of Howard first quarter, Lewis second quarter, or Lewis first series of second quarter. I don't think that's how Chris Klieman and Courtney Messingham roll.
Let's talk briefly about Oklahoma State. Stan Weber earlier on the show, I really said that these teams are mirror images, and Jaylen Warren is the guy right now that Oklahoma State will have their offense focused around. 32 carries for 218 yards and a couple of touchdowns against Boise State, and Boise State in that 21-20 victory. Give me your thoughts on Oklahoma State's offense and what K-State will need to do to slow them down in Stillwater.
You have to make them one-dimensional, and, you know, like you said, Warren's the guy right now. Early here in 21, I think what K-State has to stay away from is letting, you know, Spencer Sanders break free on the ground. You know, again, I really like the aggressiveness of K-State's defense, and I think that, you know, they should be able to do a pretty good job against the Oklahoma State run because of the depth. You know, their attacking style so far, I think the 3-3-5, at least for me, has been a pleasant surprise to this point. And, you know, Oklahoma State's always dangerous. They've just been a little off kilter due to some injuries, especially a wide receiver. And a couple of guys up front have been dinged up, and And tomorrow's not the day for them to start clicking on all eight cylinders. And it's K-State's job to not let that happen. I think it's going to be a fairly high-scoring game. Should be a knockdown, drag out. And to be honest, I'd be surprised if somebody wins by double figures tomorrow night.
Matt, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Guys, have a great weekend.
That's Matt Walters talking about the big showdown in Stillwater between Kansas State and Oklahoma State. Now let's check in with John Kirby.
Kansas.
John, good morning. How are you?
Good, Stephen. Good morning to you.
John, let's just talk for a second about the last game against Baylor. It was competitive at halftime, and I know that Kansas, even though they're early in the Lance Leipold era, it's tough to take positives away from how the score ended up. But for a while, they hung in there with Baylor, and then things got away from them in the second half. What positives do you take away from Kansas-Baylor?
Well, last week, Stephen, you know, that 14-7 at halftime, it still didn't feel good to me because Baylor was really dominating the game on both sides of the line. I felt the whole game. So, but what you do take away is although Baylor was pushing them around, they found a way to be in a one-score game in the third quarter. Okay, so you know, I think the kids are playing hard. I think this. I think Leipold will turn this thing around, Stephen. It's going to take some time. I mean, their strength and conditioning coach had 2 months with them, okay? And it showed against Baylor. I mean, Baylor played some big boy football. They just came in, and they really pushed the Jayhawks around. And when I look at it, those are things I don't know if, you know, coaches have much control over. When you're just lining up against a team who's more experienced, bigger and stronger, there's just not a lot you can do with the way Baylor played that game.
Yeah, there's an inevitability to it that's kind of I think that's probably going to be the biggest challenge for Leipold this year is to keep the guys from becoming too demoralized because that just wears you down when it happens game after game. But I think, J.K., watching them, I was up at the game, they look like a better coach team to me than I've seen in a long time. And it's hard. I mean, like, I'm not saying they don't make mistakes still, and they still have a lot of things to clean up, but they look like a team that most of the time it seems like the guys are in the right positions. They don't seem to be making as many stupid mistakes. Are you seeing it the same way so far?
Well, sure, man. I mean, you know, they're top five in the nation in turnovers, you know, not giving the ball away. So they're doing those things. They're keeping penalties down. And like you said, they do have some kids in the right place. They're schemed up right. But, you know, when Baylor's 320-pound lineman gets there and he's swallowing up, you know, KU's 200-pound linebacker and they can't make tackles just because, you know, there's some areas of deficiency Kansas has. And I think what you're trying to say, Nate, is maybe this reminds you of early signs of Mangino
yes.
teams where the guys played hard. They were in the right spot. You can tell the organization's there. You can tell kids are coached up. They're at the right spot. But, you know, it's just simple things like they're in the right spot, but they're just not fast enough to take the right angle to get a guy down, but they're there.
Well, and another thing I remember about the Mangino era to start, too, is that some guys weren't cut out for it. You know, they weren't cut out for how much they were going to be asked to do. They weren't going to, and that the coaching staff wasn't going to make any exceptions for guys either. So we had the starting running back who's not getting he's not getting starting running back carries, but he jumped ship apparently like what on Monday just didn't show up and he's entered the transfer portal in Velton Gardner. I thought Lance Leipold at his press conference was like, well, that's one less body. That was basically the way he handled it. But they're going to be calling on a freshman now who's a two sport athlete to take over the work there. And Devin Neal, what do you make of the whole running back situation now for Kansas?
Well, so, Nate, what they'll do is you know, they've moved Torrey Loughlin there, who came in as a quarterback, then did some wide receiver. He's a good athlete, and he's shown some things, so he's backing up now, too. And then the other thing to watch is the health of Amari Pessah-Kixon, who's from Blue Valley North. And he's getting healthy, so he's going to be able to go in. And he's a solid running back. So they're going to have enough bodies in there to rotate around. Devin Neal's number one on the depth chart, so he'll be the guy to get the carries early on. But, you know, right now there's enough bodies. But, you know, Nate, 4 weeks ago, you're sitting there and you're going, hey, You know, this is a pretty deep position for Kansas. And now you're looking at the depth chart, and Tory Loughlin's running two, and he started camp as a wide receiver. So, I mean, you know, it's just amazing how fast things can change, especially when you're, you know, a program's trying to.
So a little bit more on Devin Neal. My understanding is that this kid's got an incredibly bright future in the sport of baseball. And now all of a sudden he's getting thrust in to starting running back in Big 12 games as well. What kind of a player can he be in football? And I guess, I mean, how much can they really ask of him at this point?
Yeah, you know, Nate, I'm very familiar with Devin. I've watched him play baseball for several years. Very talented athlete. But, you know, I look at Devin, I definitely think he's a football player first.
Okay? Really? Okay.
So, yeah. Now, he is a good baseball player. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, he's going to play in the Big 12. But his ticket is football, and I think he's always known that over the last couple years. He's very talented. You know, he's still got to learn some things, you know, with pad level. And, you know, he's got pretty good vision. And you could tell early on when he and Gardner were getting carries, he just hits the hole quicker than Gardner was. You know, Gardner was dancing around, and, you know, Neal just takes the ball and goes, and he's got good enough speed, and he's not a small kid. I mean, he's 215 pounds. So, I mean, you know, I've watched him run the bases in baseball. My son's played against him, and he can flat out fly. I mean, so he's got the talent. He's got the ability. He's a great kid.
All right, John, the Jayhawks take on this Duke team that after week one, I was telling Stephen, hey, if there's another win on the schedule for Kansas, might be Duke. They lost to Charlotte. Who knows? Maybe they're down a little bit this year, but they certainly bounced back with their last two wins. I mean, KU are big underdogs in this game. It looks like Duke's offense is really starting to click now. What are the biggest challenges for Kansas in this game, and how can they keep it close?
Well, Nate, you know, against Charlotte, it was a weird game. Duke had 580 yards of offense, okay? I mean, they've got some weapons. The quarterback's coming on. The running back is leading the ACC in rushing. He's really good. They run this hurry-up, fast-paced offense. So, I mean, the Kansas defense is going to have to get lined up quick. Last week, Duke snapped the ball 103 times against Northwestern.
Whoa.
So, they move pretty fast. So, you know, against Charlotte, they had 580 yards. Last week, they had over 500 yards. But I'll tell you, Nate, when you watch that Duke game last week, Northwestern's starting quarterback threw three picks and fumbled the ball away in the first half. So they gave Duke the ball four times. They brought their backup in. Northwestern's backup starts moving the ball. He gets hurt in the fourth quarter. They bring the number three guy in who was just okay. They didn't go back to the one guy. I think Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern just said, you're done. He told the number one guy, you're not coming back in at all. So, you know, Duke got some breaks in that game. So, you know, Duke blitzes a lot, okay? So, you know, it's just going to be a game where Kansas has got to handle Duke's pressure defensively, able to line up and play a lot of snaps and be ready, and they're probably going to have to use a lot of depth.
What's the score going to be tomorrow?
You know, Stephen, I think personnel-wise, I don't think Kansas is that far off from Duke, but I think Duke's offense is really starting to play better, and they're starting to get some confidence as a team. It's just going to be tough for the Jayhawks to win on the road, I think. I'm going to go Duke 31, Kansas 20.
John Kirby, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
That was the Border Patrol Blitz. Got a lot of questions coming in from listeners on Twitter.
We'll leave them there.
Want to know if Mizzou gets out to a big lead against Boston College, if Drinkwitz will pound the ball inside with Mike Cox. And I don't,
well, that's the right time to insert Mike Cox.
Not okay!
I'll get a jersey of him, you know.
Of course you will.
No.
Said much.
No.
What do you think? He's a walk-on, and now this kid's going to be...
You guys just need to grow up.
Right. More touches for Mike Cox.
That's what Eli Drinkwitz said on his radio show this week.
No.
And people really...
When I give it to the players and it doesn't go far enough, I go back in.
Especially with Mike Cox.
Right.
Guys.
Oh, I'm going to get some angry Facebook emails from this one guy.
Good. I hope so.
Oh, man.
Send him to Nate.
You guys need to grow up.
Right. We do.
Guys.
Who's arguing?
Dewey.
Football player.
What's fun about
SEC?
Growing up? What is fun about growing up?
I don't know.
Lose all your humor. Lose all your whimsy. Damn it. I'm not making it up.
Without talking
the kids
about
will walk
Cox.
On. He's from Atlanta. He turned down scholarship offers to walk on at Mizzou with SEC football. His name's Michael Cox. He had a very good game, including a 55-yard touchdown run last week. I mean, let me tell you something. That 55. Did you guys see that? Did you see his explosion? It was unbelievable.
Do you know his middle name?
I think it's. I think it's break.
It's not Jay.
No, it's not. It's not. It's time to break. That's what his middle name is.
I think. I just got a good Conrad McGork in me. Gabe Cameron is from. Who are you going to tell me about the center, huge ass?
Yeah, but,
after this?
No, but what did you guys? What do you guys think? Because that happened, and that was hilarious. That when he was doing his post game, and the guy called in, he goes, "What do you think about this walk on running back Michael Cox?" And Gabe's like, "Yeah, whatever."
Hang up on him.
That's why it was so
great.
Didn't he like what I was saying? Hey, Gabe, I've been waiting to ask you about something. He's listening. He goes, "Oh, I know what this is going to be about."
You don't like it.
How could you expect anything else?
You think I'm going to fall for the old Mike Cox running back one?
Yes, you did. We'll be right back after this on WHB.